The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family and friends wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.
It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Okay, Mr. Chris Housen, you've had quite a journey in radio, from hosting morning shows in Canada to running the station over in Phuket in Thailand. I've got to ask you, you must have a busy, busy schedule. Do you drink coffee?
I don't actually drink coffee, and I never have, which I think as a morning radio person, as you well know, is kind of an anomaly and makes me a little bit of a circus attraction, actually.
That's a sacrilegious thing to do, Chris, not drink coffee as a breakfast host. What's going on?
I know. I think it actually really scares people, because the fact that I can be this cheery and happy in the morning without the aid of caffeine in any way actually makes it seem like I must be disturbed on a very deep psychological level.
Well, do you have like a caffeinated drink, like a Coca-Cola or like a green tea or something? Or you just, is it full of beans naturally?
It's just all water. I just drink cold water with ice first thing in the morning, and that peps me up enough. But I do have a secret weapon in my arsenal living here in Thailand. I do eat curry for breakfast. So that does kind of do the thing, kind of, you know, it wakes you up.
You have curry for breakfast. Is it the green curry or the red curry, or what curry is it?
Well, I am a man of many distinctions, so I like to keep it interesting every day, change it up, sometimes some Massaman, some Penang, some green, curries from all over the region. I'm completely indiscriminate on my curries.
So how did it take a while for your stomach to get used to that? Because I imagine in Canada, when you were living there, you had the standard, you know, Kellogg's whole commodity of breakfast assortments. But how did your stomach adjust to go from like cereal or, you know, breakfast, standard Western breakfast products to curry?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because when I moved here, I was a very picky eater back in Canada, too. I had a very prejudiced palate, and I was not down for any kind of interesting foods or foods with flavor. My mouth was just like, no, just steak and potatoes every morning. So that's what I had stuck to. And I got here and, you know, very quickly made friends with a lot of Thai people, and they, living in the south of Thailand, it's particularly spicy cuisine here. And they all had this game where like, oh, let's burn Chris. Like, let's take him to the spiciest food. Let's just burn the tongue right out of his face hole. And every time they were disappointed, because for whatever reason, I have a very high natural tolerance for the Thai chilies.
Wow.
Because every chili is different around the world. And some of them, I still can't eat Mexican food, which is actually closer to where I'm from. But when, for whatever reason, the Thai chili, which usually burns people really bad, is totally fine with me. So I was very disappointing to my friends here that I didn't burn my face off. And I loved it so much that I made it part of my breakfast.
So Operation Kill Chris didn't quite turn out the way they hoped.
Unfortunately, I denied them probably the greatest joy of having a white friend in Thailand, getting to watch them scream and wet when they sticks chilies in your mouth.
Well, you've given us a kind of a good chunk on what your morning routine is. So you have water with ice, and then you have a curry. What else consists of your morning routine?
Well, I like to, recently I've actually been walking to work, which is a very strange thing in Thailand as well. People don't really walk that much here because it's very hot and there's not a lot of infrastructure for walking. But I do live in an area that's very close to my work, and my partner needs our vehicle to get to his job because it's much further away. So I've been walking.
Right.
So I think it's kind of like the combination of all three, like a nice brisk walk in the dark, because again, you know, morning radio, we're usually trudging through the dark about 4 a.m. And that's
exactly.
Some water and some curry, and it seems to create the right formula. So I'm, you know, relatively coherent and engaging by the time I go on the air.
I have to say, probably out of all the breakfast hosts in the world, you probably have the most unique wake-up routine. No coffee, you walk to work, you have curry for breakfast, and you have water with ice. This is fantastic.
Well, I like to think that I have a kind of an interesting story, so I'm very happy that I could oblige for some Monday insight into the life of a Canadian broadcaster living in Thailand and hosting a morning show with curry.
Fantastic, Chris. Well, speaking of, Monday motivations, yeah. Who are the five closest people in your life? And use one word to describe them.
Oh, man. Okay. The five closest people in my life would be definitely my partner, Nawarat, my mom, my sister, and then my partner's mom as well. And as weird as this sounds, my partner's niece as well. She's exactly 1 year old. And
aww.
For whatever reason, like, it's so funny how, you know, a tiny little person that doesn't even really have a fully formed personality yet can be such an important person in your life, but she definitely is. And I would describe them with the word inspiring, because in one way or another, they wow. all inspire me every single day.
See, I find little ones with no personality that's developed fully inspire me the most, because they really don't care about responsibility. It's more so like, let's play.
Exactly.
It's all about playtime. And we forget that as adults, because it's not always about playtime.
Exactly. And it's so lovely to watch them and to kind of see things again through their eyes, because you're right. You're absolutely right. We forget that joie de vivre in the smallest little things in life that they find so amazing, like that they can just stand up and hold on to something and then just cackle laughing for 10 minutes. So amazed that they're standing upright and like a little bit closer to your height. And you're just like, my God, I should be that happy every time I stand up too. It really is a miracle.
It's so true, isn't it? That's such a good insight into the mentality of having legs. And I think I interviewed someone for Monday Mocker, and this particular guest told me, going, when you go for a run, like, think how great it is to have legs. Think about the people who don't have legs and feel like, hey, I can't feel the earth beneath my feet. Like, it's so true.
It's absolutely true, yeah. And, you know, down to the really nuts and bolts of a motivational Monday, I was talking to one of my coworkers this morning, actually on the radio for my show, which I've just finished. And I was like, so how's your Monday morning going? How is everything? And his response was very simply, well, we're alive. You know what? If you have nothing else to be grateful for or happy about this morning, even if it's just like, this has been a bad morning so far, you at least have that. We're alive.
Exactly. We're alive. We're alive, we're breathing, and we're eating curry for breakfast.
Yes. How are things going for you, by the way? I know this is supposed to be, you know, you're not to turn the tables on you, but that's what us broadcasters do. We like to flip the table. How are things with you in New York? I would like to say you're one of the closest people in my life, but I haven't met you yet. But you are also very inspiring that you jumped to the other side of the world,
Chris.
And, you know, into New York, like New York. I mean, if anyone's ever been to New York, like, it's a behemoth of a city. Like, it's not easy to jump into that.
That's actually, it's funny you asked me that question, because that was kind of going to be my next question for you, but I'll ask you after I tell you my side of the story. So for me in New York, one of the things I've learned is, so I came here in December, and it kind of felt, because it was the holiday season, it kind of felt like, okay, I'm here on holiday. I don't really live here yet. But once 2018 ticked over, it was like, bang, I was into work. I'm like, okay, I live here now. But one thing I have learned about New York is, you know, it's winter. Everyone's kind of a little bit more incubated. It's hot in places, and it's cold when you go outside. Because, like, you know, I don't drive here yet. I go by subway. A lot of the subways, you know, they smell like pee.
Yep.
There's lots of people around. Everyone's going somewhere. Everyone's just, you know, freezing, that they just want to rush and get into the nearest place. It's really crowded because of tourists. But, like, one thing about New York that I love is those things are a part of the city. So you have to learn to be like, okay, that's just a part of what it is. You just have to keep going. And it really is a great city. I know a lot of people say it's overwhelming because, yes, it is loud. There is a lot of people. So that means there's a lot more of things that are amplified that you don't see often. There's more homelessness. There's more people. There's more happiness. There's more cars, everything. But it does really make you go, okay, this is a part of life now. I just have to keep going. So I get the whole, you know, introspection that it gives you when you're kind of going through your day. You're like, you see everything. You're like, you know what? I'm really grateful that I can actually afford my meal and I don't have to sit there in the cold asking people to pay for my meal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And I've also, I'm grateful because where I moved to in Brooklyn, there's a coffee store around the corner that does smashed avocado. So I don't feel too far away from Australia. And I haven't taken on any dietary. I haven't had my, like, you know, my bagel or my, I'm still getting used to the whole how you put like syrup on your bacon. I mean, that just doesn't seem right. You shouldn't put sweet on your, I mean, I know you do that in Canada too, but I'm like, that just feels wrong. You shouldn't mix the waffle. And even McDonald's here, they serve hotcakes with their big breakfast. I'm like, no, pancakes are separate. You don't put syrup with the eggs and the sausage and the biscuit. No, it's not right.
You know what, Jenny? I 100% agree with you on that. And that is an American thing. I don't know what happened with them. I think it has something to do with the fact that they fought a war to get their independence. It just made them bitter. So they needed that extra sweetness on their bacon and eggs. But we're the same. We use maple syrup, obviously, which they don't use as much in America. We use maple syrup, but it's just on the pastry. It's on the pancakes. It's on the French toast. It's completely separate. And if it touches the bacon, that's okay. But you don't dip it in the bacon. Like, that's weird. That's
no, you don't. Exactly. I'm glad Canada's much more aligned with the Australian view on, you know, sweet and savory, let's just say.
If you ever get homesick, you can just nip up to Toronto. It's only an hour flight from Manhattan. Or I guess if you're in Brooklyn, you can pop on the LaGuardia, I believe. And just head up there. And it's very close. And then you can be with like-minded people.
Thank you for that, Chris. That's good to know. It's good. If I'm ever feeling homesick.
I'll call some friends. I'll set some stuff up for you too. So I'll make sure.
Thank you. As long as there's, you know, syrupless bacon, I'm set in Toronto.
And we have avocado toast as well. So there you go.
Oh, you do? Oh, wonderful. So I'm all set with syrupless bacon, avocado toast. Just got to find a good coffee shop. I'm all good. But tell me about you, Chris. You moved to Thailand. So you did something similar to what I did where you left your hometown because you grew up in Canada, I believe, too. So you left there, moved to Thailand. What kind of made you make that leap? Like, that's a pretty big jump.
Well, I had some help. I had a few experiences very close together in my life in Toronto that kind of prompted me to go. So first, very quickly, some background on it. I was very, very fortunate in that right out of journalism school, I got a job to the point that I didn't even complete my internship because I jobbed out of it. So I had that kind of post-college, nothing to lose. I'm already in a whole bunch of debt. I might as well travel the world and have some fun. I never had that. So I just went straight into my career. And then I did that. I hosted the morning show at Proud FM for 5 years. And then one day, quite out of the blue, as it often happens in our industry, I was fired. And the whole like made me during, it was funny. It was so funny. It was right in the middle of my show. So I was on from 5 until 9 a.m. And they came in at 7 a.m., my boss. And he was like, yeah, we're going to fire you. And I was like, okay, I'll like,
what?
After freaking out a bit, I was like, okay, I'll just say goodbye. And but anyway, yeah, so I got fired from that. My TV show got canceled. And when a lot of those perks went away from being a, you know, F-less celebrity in Toronto, my partner broke up with me as well, who I'd been with for 2.5 years. So all of a sudden, all my strings had been cut. And I just went traveling. And I was in the Middle East for a couple months. I had some issues with my my brain there. They thought I had a brain tumor when I was in Tel Aviv. So I was grounded and couldn't flight. And since you can't really take a bus from Israel back to Europe, I was stuck in Israel and Jordan. And they found out they made a mistake and then I could move from there. But anyway, the gist of it was I spent all of my money in Israel because I was stranded there. And I didn't really want to go back to Canada yet. I wasn't really feeling like I was prepared. It just didn't really feel right anymore. And then I got a message from the program director, whose job I've now taken here. And he asked me to come and work for him in Thailand. And I had never been to Asia before, Asia proper. And it was just an experience. I was like, you know, why not? It's a job that I know that I can do. I've never been to Thailand before. I've heard Thailand's amazing. And I came here for a 6-month contract, and that was almost 3 years ago.
Wow. I just find it like fascinating the steps that you had to get through to get to where you are now, because it was like you said, all the strings were cut from you. You had you're fired from your job. Your TV show got canceled, then your partner broke up with you. So you're like, okay, well, I can take that leap now. Whereas me was the complete opposite. Like I was the one cutting the ties. I'm like, all right, I love you friends. Like I love my friends and family. I still do. And I'm like, I've got to go to New York now and pursue my dream. I had a day job. I'm like, bye Felicia's. I'm doing my own thing now. But wow, how on earth did you get through that, Chris? That was quite like one thing after the other. They say like, you know, the bad things come in threes, but you had quite a few things that you had to get through.
Yeah, it was, I think when you have no control over it, it's actually easier. Like, I don't envy you at all having to actually make that choice because I'd been wanting to do something like this for years. Like, in the whole 5 years, I'd really, it's not a good radio station. They do great work for the people in Toronto, community outreach and things like that. But just behind the scenes at Proud FM, there was a lot of weird politics that were going on that really governed how things were happening that I wasn't really happy with, and I hadn't been happy for a long time. I wanted to move on, but didn't know how. So to think that, you know, while you were kind of still in the height of everything in Melbourne, you managed to cut all your strings and move to the other side of the world. Like, for me, that's so much harder. Like, when it's kind of serendipitous and fate happens to you, like, there's a certain amount of, well, there's nothing I can do, so I'll just move forward. But when you're actually making the conscious decisions, like, one by one, snip, 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 it's like, that would be really hard.
Oh. It was painful. You're absolutely right. I remember, like, I was fine until I hugged my little niece goodbye at the airport, and that's when I started crying because she's like your spouse's niece. You have a bond with her already. She's one, but as she gets older, obviously the bond gets stronger. Like, I've been with my niece since she was born. Like, if I don't see her for a week, I miss her. So leaving her and not being able to play with her, or, you know, being able to read with her or watch Netflix with her, was like, oh no, this is going to be very difficult. So she started crying, and I started crying. I'm like, okay, but it is. You're right. It's the snipping part is hard, but I think for me, it's that mentality of I've got to do this. And I think that's where the similarity is between you and I in this traveling instance, or this moving instance, is that no matter where we came from, whether it was snipped for you or you had to do the snipping, the mentality of I've got to keep going to get over this was the similar thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just kind of, you have to move forward. And like I said, I'm very, very inspired by it. If I hadn't already done it, watching you do it probably would have inspired me to do it now.
I think it's, well, you know, we both have now, you know, foreign wives as well to go with it. So it's fantastic. It's great. Well, on the lighter note too, Chris, this is a question I love to ask all of my guests because I feel it's very apt in the tech world at the moment. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Yeah. If there's been a few times, and forgive the bluntness of this, I'm sure a lot of people skirt around and being like, sometimes if I remember. No, like if I forget, it's like an existential crisis because I don't know what to do. I genuinely have lost the ability to have like ongoing entertaining conversations or thoughts within my head. And without a phone, something to concentrate on, to look at, I just end up staring at the wall and like going through an existential crisis. Like everything comes in, like you're almost 30. Should you really be living in Thailand? Like your mom wants you to go home. Like it just all comes crashing back in on me when I'm in the bathroom without my phone. So I make sure it's always with me.
That is, it's almost like you can't now take a shit in peace without, you know, going to therapy afterwards. It's, if you don't have your phone.
True. And you know, I, based on, you know, the general ideas stuff going around about millennials right now, I assume that I'm on the same track as everybody else and we're all just barely holding it together. But I feel like maybe there might be a little bit more if I can't even use the restroom without having a complete personal and emotional relapse.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to last week's episode was a guy named Chris as well. He's a doctor and he lives up in the mountains, and he was talking about his bathroom, where his bathroom has been built with like a phone holder. So you got your toilet paper roll holder, and on top of that, you have a phone holder, which apparently charges the phone and also plays music. That, so I think that's quite handy for future bathroom building, don't you think?
Absolutely. That's definitely next level. and the only thing that I would make sure that he also had in there is a bidet.
That's a very Eastern thing, because it's funny. My sister redid her bathroom last year. They renovated their bathroom, so they put two in. And the funny thing was, they put a bidet in there. I'm like, that is so Sri Lankan of you to put a bidet in, because you don't really see that in Western bathrooms.
No, you absolutely don't. And I have to say, when I moved here, it took me a little while. It took me a while to come around to the idea of it, because, you know, we're very, very Western in our mind. And it's just like, no, you do not splash water there. That's not for water. That's for wasting paper on, for whatever reason. And I can't, like, why did I put my poor bumhole through all of that stuff? Like, just scraping away with toilet paper minute after, like, you know, when you're not feeling well sometimes. It, like, really irritates the area. And it's like, but it's like, it's better for the environment to just use some water instead. You know, it's better.
It's cleaner.
It's cleaner. I know.
And the funny thing too is, like, you know, when you're in a housemate situation where you have multiple housemates that you share with, you guys don't have to take turns in buying toilet paper if you have a bidet. No, it's all good.
It's cheaper, because toilet, especially if you want the fancy stuff, like the cashmere, the Charmin, that kind of stuff, like, that's pretty pricey.
The 3-ply. Oh, absolutely. The comfort. The candy cotton for the bottom is expensive.
You want the luxury, especially now you're living in America, the world, the land of two worlds. If you want to be up in that upper tier, you got to go with that 3-ply plus. Three ply.
Well, this is my theory. It all goes up and down the same hole. Does it really matter? Like,
Exactly. Glad you understand.
Fantastic, Chris. Okay, so my next question, this is, if you could tell something to your younger self, what would it be?
Oh, how young are we talking here?
Let's say prepubescent.
Okay, I'm glad I asked, because in my head I'm just like, so like 26, 25? how young are we talking here? Prepubescent Chris. Well, I blossomed late, so that could be upwards of 14.
Right.
I would tell him to settle down a bit. Don't worry so much about what other people think. And just learn about yourself and learn how to like yourself, because I think many people in our general industry, you know, radio announcers, actors, musicians, things like that, we kind of go in that direction because we're kind of have a very big personality when we're young. And there's that weird phase when you're trying to figure out how to best use it, and you just end up annoying everybody.
Exactly.
and that's definitely what I ended up doing, is I ended up having a lot of very awkward years in my teenage years. And because of it, I didn't have many friends because I was trying so hard, and just my personality was a bit too big. So if I could say something to that, is like, you know what, you're fun, you're funny. You don't have to try so hard, and just don't worry. Like, kids are jerks, so just don't care so much about. It's hard to say that to a child as an adult, but if I was like saying it to myself, I'd be like, yeah, kids are jerks, so don't worry about it.
that's great wisdom there. Kids are jerks. Full stop.
Full stop. Okay. Kids are jerks.
Well, Netflix is something the kids are into these days. How many hours of screen time do you have a day, Chris?
Oh, my gosh. On Netflix specifically, or all encompassed?
In general. All encompassed.
I have been on a bit of a kick on classic television lately. I blame Betty White, personally. like most gay and queer people in the world, they had part of their sexual awakening and their gay awakening
Golden Girls.
Exactly. So but when watch the Golden Girls, you got to trace it back even farther. You got to catch Betty White on the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 1970s, and that you watch that, and that spins off into Rhoda, and suddenly you're watching like, and then Phyllis as well. Like, you're just watching all these shows at once from the 1970s. And it really was like, those shows were so amazing because they depicted women in a way that's very normal now. But at the time, it was very strange to have a career driven woman in her 30s that didn't have a man and didn't particularly want a man. Like, it's we forget how groundbreaking that was at the time. So I got caught up in that. But probably I'd say I've been watching about 4 hours of TV a day.
That's not bad. That's pretty good considering some people binge like, you know, 10, 12, sometimes 14, 3 days in a row of Game of Thrones. But, you know, I understand. It's their love. Totally dig it.
If it's a Netflix show, the weekend it comes, some of my favorites, the weekend it comes out, like, yeah, you won't see me. I just post up. It's like hilarious. Orange is the New Black has just come out with the new season, and you will not be seeing me. Or also Wentworth, which is amazing how two shows that are so similar in every way can both be so addictive, and you have to watch both of them like crazy, even though it's like they're like the same show but with different accents. But you're like, I need to see them.
Do you find, though, and I've gotten feedback about Wentworth, and I'm very proud that, you know, Australia is putting decent content out there, but I found that the accents on there, the feedback I've been getting is they're just not sexy. Like, you know, you have Ruby Rose on Orange is the New Black, and look, Ruby Rose isn't my type, but she's a lot of people's types. So they're like, oh, you know, it's great that we have an Australian on Orange is the New Black, but then you see Wentworth and, like, the accents, is just, they get terrible and bogan. I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you ruin a perfectly good thing and put the bogans on them?
I can't – as many Australians as live here – for some reason, back when I lived in Canada and I wasn't really exposed to many accents, I could spot an Australian accent from a mile away. I could tell Aussie, I could call Kiwi, I could call South African, British, all the dialects. I knew it like the back of my hand. And I moved here and they all just jumble together. And I can't even tell a good Aussie accent from a bad one anymore.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time today. It's like been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I know you've had an early morning and you've just gotten off air. So thank you for jumping on again and chatting to me and sharing your wisdom with me. It's inspired me and made my Monday a lot better. So thank you so much
for having me, because honestly, well, first of all, this is the first podcast I've ever done. So thank you very much for being gentle.
Yay! I popped your pod cherry.
You did, but you did it in a very respectable way. That the consent was very obvious, and you could tell that because you are in tune with your partner's needs during podcasting.
Thank you very much, and I will give you a bidet as a gift, a farewell gift.
Thank you so much for that. I'll try and send one over to you as well, because I'm sure you probably need one over there.
I should probably just keep this one.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look, live unbound. Check it out at conair.com and search unbound.